I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 25th, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an article by Matt Barber entitled, Will Christians Be Fitted with Yellow Crosses? He begins, amid the cross-country race to election 2016, the secular left's utter disdain for both our Creator Christ and his faithful followers is fast approaching critical mass. Matt, why does that surprise you? If a person is secular, then they don't have imaginary friends, as you do. So it is understandable that they have utter disdain for such childish and often dangerous beliefs. But it is not necessarily true that they have disdain for his followers. That depends on the actions his followers take as a result of those beliefs. Matt wrote, self-styled progressives, that is, America's cultural Marxist agents of ruin, typically disguise their designs on despotism in the flowery and euphemistic language of reproductive health, anti-discrimination, and multiculturalism. Matt, according to dictionary.com, despotism is defined as the exercise of absolute authority, tyranny, or an absolute or autocratic government. Matt, can you provide the name of even one progressive who has stated that they support that concept? One conservative? One anybody? No, you can't, because you are lying. Matt wrote, we see this Orwellian newspeak at play right now in Washington, D.C. Matt, I'll bet I can even guess when you first noticed it. Let's see. Let me think. Oh, I know. It was January 20th, 2009, wasn't it? No, Matt, I'm not psychic. Your mind just isn't that hard to figure out. He wrote, where congressional Republicans endeavor to prevent, if only timorously, two unconstitutional pieces of legislation from taking effect. Matt, I thought you were a law school graduate. I thought you had to pass the bar. Am I wrong? I ask because even high school government students know that one of the responsibilities of Congress is to pass laws. The responsibility to prevent unconstitutional legislation from taking effect belongs to the Supreme Court, not to Congress, Matt. Matt continues, the first, the District of Columbia's so-called Reproductive Health Non-Discrimination Act, would force pro-life groups, including churches and parachurch organizations, to hire pro-abortion zealots and other godless rabble-rousers with worldviews and socio-political agendas overtly hostile to the express mission of those churches and organizations. Matt, so as a bar-certified law school graduate, you should have no problem giving us that part of the Constitution which you claim is being violated by this act, should you? We will all wait patiently while you go look for it. No hurry. Take your time. Matt continues, the second is the farcically mislabeled Human Rights Amendment Act. It would jettison the long-standing Armstrong Amendment, which was enacted by Congress in 1989 to exempt religious schools in the District of Columbia from being forced into violating their beliefs about human sexuality by promoting, encouraging, or condoning any homosexual act, lifestyle, orientation, or belief. Matt, what is unconstitutional about removing an amendment that was enacted less than 30 years ago? Matt, once again, we will all wait patiently while you go find the section of the Constitution that you claim is being violated. Now he writes, in other words, under this new legislation, churches and religious schools will be forced, under penalty of law, to deny the Christian sexual ethic and instead promote, encourage, and condone homosexual behavior and other pagan sexual immorality. Matt, according to your Bible, the most common form of marriage is polygamy. As a Christian, I shouldn't have to tell you this. One of the few cases of monogamous marriage in the Bible was Adam and Eve. And let's face it, Matt, for Adam, it's not like there were any other options available. Matt wrote, so much for human rights. Matt, America has been taking away your Christian religious freedoms for centuries. We took away your right to own slaves. Our founding fathers slapped your God right across his cheeks with a dueling handkerchief when they allowed everyone the freedom to worship any God they chose, in direct violation of God's first and foremost commandment. Our laws overruled your blasphemy laws. You are no longer allowed to exercise your religious freedom to kill homosexuals, witches, or atheists, or those who work on the Sabbath. Your God considered adultery a capital offense, yet we don't even classify it as a misdemeanor. So you lost that freedom as well. And Matt, we're not done yet. Next, we plan on taking away your religious freedom to cut off the end of your baby's dicks. You people are absolutely fucking sick. Matt, you ghost worshippers have the most vile, disgusting moral code ever recorded in history. Fortunately, with the help of modern progressive Christians working together with non-believers and followers of other religions, you Tea Party Christians are finally being exposed for the nasty little scumbags that you really are. Matt wrote, still, while most on the left are careful to mask their totalitarian goals and anti-Christian animus by coating these poison pills in sugar-sweet jargon, on occasion one of these God-denying goose-steppers will let down his guard, drop the euphemistic bullshit, and vomit forth that acidic bile, unfiltered progressivism. Matt, sometimes you make it so easy. Let me show the audience how simple it is to expose your lies. Google percentage of atheists in America. You should get a figure around 4%. Now Google the percentage of Christians in America. It's around 75%. So the left that you are trying to characterize as godless is anything but. Matt, isn't lying a violation of one of your commandments? Matt continues, The Atlantic's Jeffrey Taylor is one such goose-stepper. Matt, so what did this Taylor guy say that has you crying your little eyes out? Did he make fun of your imaginary friends? Matt wrote, in an April 19th Salon.com screed headlined, Marco Rubio's Deranged Religion, Ted Cruz's Bizarre Faith, Our Would-Be Presidents Are God-Fearing Clowns. Now Matt continues, Free-thinking Jeffrey, a paragon of paganism, ably puts the bigot in anti-Christian bigotry. Matt, it sounds like Taylor crawled about halfway up your colon. So what did Taylor say that caused your diaper to overflow? He wrote, in reference to the 2016 presidential candidates who call themselves Christian, Taylor bemoans that these God-fearing clowns and faith-mongering nitwits are groveling before evangelicals. Matt, are you saying they aren't? Whenever I see them on TV or on the internet, I expect them to start wrapping themselves in snakes any minute. They are pounding their Bibles so furiously, it looks more like they are auditioning for an opening on Pat Robertson's 700 Club than campaigning for public office. Matt wrote, he further protests Christians nattering on about their belief in the Almighty and their certainty that if we just looked, we could find answers to many of our ills in the good book. Matt, are you denying that they said that? Have you actually listened to any of these clowns? Taylor isn't the only one who noticed that these guys all think they are Joel Osteen. He wrote, right, it's called the gospel, Jeffrey. It's the only hope that either you or any of us has. Matt, hope for what? A fairy tale afterlife? Is that why Taylor has your blood pressure skyrocketing? Because he is making fun of your invisible ghost? Matt continues, Taylor said there will almost certainly be no declared atheist or even agnostic among the candidates. This is scandalous, given the electorate's gradual, relentless ditching of religion. Now Matt replies to Taylor, gradual? That's a gaping understatement when one considers that even today over 80% of Americans identify as Christian, with the vast majority of those who don't nevertheless acknowledging the transcendent reality of a creator God. Matt, every poll supports Taylor's statement. In the most advanced nations, Christianity is disappearing faster than donuts at a policeman's ball. America is the last great bastion of Christian ghost worshippers. In the early 20th century, America was way over 90% Christian. Among the youth, which is our future, non-religion approaches 30%. So it looks like Taylor has his facts straight, which may explain why you are in such a panic and your rhetoric is borderline hysterical. Now Matt writes, every man, woman, and child understands through both general revelation and human reason that this unfathomably intricate, staggeringly fine-tuned universe didn't create and fine-tune itself. Matt, now you're just humiliating yourself. Everyone? Seriously? Everyone? Matt, you have to be one of the most tragic cases of denial I've ever seen. Seriously, Matt, get help. Now he writes, it's a tiny minority of angry, self-deluded materialists like Jeffrey Taylor who deny this self-evident truth. Matt, nice contradiction. You just said every man, woman, and child, and now you admit there's a tiny minority. You are tying yourself up in knots, dude. It sounds like Taylor is driving you to the bottle. Maybe you should consider typing only when you're sober. Matt continues by quoting Taylor. With the dapper Florida Senator Marco Rubio, we move into the more disturbing category of Republicans we might charitably diagnose as faith deranged. In other words, as likely to do fine among the unwashed crazies in the red state primaries, but whose religious beliefs would or should render them unfit for civilized company anywhere else. End quote. Ouch, Matt. I know that one had to hurt. Matt replies, sound familiar? Such hubristic elitism is so 1939. It was similarly faith deranged, unwashed crazies in Germany who, at that time, were numerically branded unfit for civilized company. Shall we Christians be fitted with yellow crosses, Herr Taylor? Gee, Matt, you got so angry you threw the Hitler card. What a surprise. The sad thing is, Matt, people only throw the Hitler card as a last resort. The Hitler card is an admission of defeat, Matt. Now he writes, our Darwinian disbeliever. So, Matt, you're also an evolution denier. Why am I not surprised? With all your education and everything, you came to the conclusion that evolution is false, but an invisible ghost who created humans out of magic mud? Totally believable. Matt, it's great to see you didn't let your brain go to waste. It does a great job of keeping your ears from rubbing together. He wrote, then distills the timeless Christian faith. Matt, your timeless Christian faith wasn't even invented until well after many civilizations had flourished for thousands of years. Your God didn't seem to be in all that much of a hurry to save mankind. Who knows, maybe he was too busy chasing Athena around Mount Olympus before he noticed how badly he screwed up his creation. Matt writes, to far-fetched fiction and foolish figments, before launching into a tirade against the left's favorite candidate to hate, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, while likewise knifing twixt the shoulder blades the richly diverse 100,000-plus student body at Liberty University. Matt, the 100,000-plus students aren't actually at Liberty University, as you just stated. Only 13,000 students actually attend. The 100,000 you refer to are online students. Now Matt quotes Taylor again. Cruz pandered fulsomely to the faith deranged by choosing to announce at Liberty University, that bastion of darkness once administered by the late Jerry Falwell. Liberty promises a world-class Christian education and boasts that it has been training champions for Christ since 1971. Grounds enough, in my view, to revoke the institution's charter and subject it to immediate quarantine until sanity breaks out. End quote. Hey Matt, I know why you are so furious now. You are an employee at Liberty University, aren't you? And I provided him a link to the faculty at Liberty University. Boy, after reading what Taylor wrote about your school, you must have needed heart paddles, huh? And as overweight as you are, that heart of yours is probably ready to blow if you read any more of Taylor's articles. How much over 250 are you now? Closer to 300? Matt, try this to calm down. Just read your Bible. Wait, bad idea. I just remembered that half the verses are about your God murdering people. Okay, try this instead. Convert to Buddhism and concentrate on meditation. That may buy you a few extra months. Oh, and it wouldn't hurt to drop about 100 pounds either. Matt wrote, are you getting this? Taylor's not joking about revoking Liberty's accreditation and otherwise consigning all faithful Christians to a constructive encampment beyond the margins of functional society. That's their end game. That's the way their boxcars roll. Matt, then you'd have to find a real job, wouldn't you? You failed as a cop, booted out after only 3 years. No surprise that you aren't talking about that one. Only 5 years as corporate security before they shit-canned you. Then you landed this gig at a university whose diplomas carry as much weight as toilet paper. But at least toilet paper is useful. You have to be the poster child for the term loser. He wrote, neither do our papist friends escape unscathed. Matt, your papist friends? Are you joking again? Protestants and Catholics have been killing each other for centuries. The only time you guys stop is when you gang up to kill Jews or Muslims. Now they're your papist friends? You must really think your audience is stupid. And sadly, you're probably right. Now Matt writes, Taylor smears the Catholic Church as a fanatical, homophobic cult. Matt, it would only be a smear if it weren't true. But Taylor doesn't have to smear the church, because they've pretty much done that to themselves. Matt writes, while blaspheming his own creator. Matt, I don't remember Taylor saying anything about his parents. Oh, you mean your imaginary friend. Sorry, Matt. I almost forgot. Matt continues. Taylor inquires in litmus of some obscure atheist candidate, if you are indeed an atheist, will you come out of the closet about it? will you utter that vilest of stock phrases, God bless America, to close speeches, thereby lending undue credence to the nonsense notion that an invisible tyrant rules us from on high. Atheists can dream. They can dream of a candidate and future president who will one day say, I do not believe in God. I do not believe in a hereafter. Matt, that scares the crap out of you, doesn't it? Everything you stand for, everything you believe in, all your time and effort invested into an invisible ghost who never existed anywhere except in the minds of deluded, superstitious ghost worshippers. And one day, when humans have thrown off ghost worship and have advanced to a far more rational state, little children will watch videos of ancient ghost worshippers like you and laugh their little asses off. And Matt concludes by saying, and why not? Russia had its Stalin and China its Mao. Who needs an invisible tyrant when we can elect one at the ballot box? Or didn't we already do that? No, Matt. Our democracy has a division of powers designed to prevent that. I guess you must have missed that class at law school too, huh? Matt. This guy Taylor has burrowed under your skin so deep he can feed your tapeworms. At this point, my only recommendation for you is to crawl back under your rock and experiment with spontaneous combustion. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, having a high sense of purpose in life is associated with a lower death rate. The research team reviewed 10 relevant studies with the data of more than 137,000 people to analyze the impact of sense of purpose on death rates and risk of cardiovascular events. The new analysis defined purpose in life as a sense of meaning and direction, and a feeling that life is worth living. Previous research has linked purpose to psychological health and well-being. But the new analysis found that a high sense of purpose is associated with a 23% reduction in death from all causes and a 19% reduced risk of heart attack, stroke, or the need for coronary artery bypass surgery, or a cardiac stenting procedure. Now I will add to this story. Based on this study, I guess I owe a debt of gratitude to all my enemies who have given me purpose and a reason to go on fighting. So I would like to take a moment to thank all the conservatives, the religious right, barbaric fundamentalist bastards from various religions, but especially Islam, evolution deniers, global warming deniers, and all other science deniers, violent criminals, and a special shout out to those behind the scenes who manipulate all the aforementioned loonies, the greedy rich. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Sigmund Freud. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here is the quote from Sigmund Freud. When a man is freed of religion, he has a better chance to live a normal and wholesome life.
Are you ready, Greece?